listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Logan Couture wins it in overtime.
Now, here's your host, Ted Ramey.
It's definitely frustrating. I'm a guy who, everybody loves playoff hockey. I especially do, and I feel like my play style, revolves around that. And it's hard when you know all these guys in this room in the NHL grow up playing on good teams, because you have a good impact on that team and you're usually playing playoff games before you get here, and then it's a tough league to make the playoffs, and we haven't been able to do that, and it sucks, it's frustrating, but the only thing we can do is continue to look for ways to make it happen the next year. So it can be frustrating, but it's not something that brings me down, and hopefully doesn't bring anybody else down in this room, because at the end of the day, I'm actually more motivated now to turn things around. And I think I came into this year, signing a new deal, I think I was pretty emotional and wanting to have an impact and make that change. And I still know in this room, I believe in this group, I believe in what we have, and I know it's a growth mentality and it's coming. I have faith in this group. So I'm excited to get back to work and to come into next September with, an even bigger chip on my shoulder to make that push.
All right, what's happening, everyone? That was Mario Ferraro bringing us in on this special off-season edition of Morning Tide. And it's a fun edition where we've got some exclusive interviews. We are going to be talking with David Quinn, the head coach of the San Jose Sharks, as well as Logan Couture, the captain of the San Jose Sharks. And I was lucky enough to be able to sit down with them, get some exclusive one-on-one time with them, and just kind of go over their thoughts after what was a very difficult season. And when you hear it, you'll hear that I will pose similar questions to the two of them, because I think that, we talk about the leaders of the team, right? We know that, you've got Logan wearing the C and you've got Mario wearing the A, and, we can go on in that line and talk about who's got the letter on their sweater, but it also includes David Quinn, because even though he's not out there on the ice, he is still a huge part of what the Sharks are trying to accomplish. So, I think it's important to look back, and I also think that, when you're doing the media scrums at the end of the year and everybody's all, shoving a microphone in your face and trying to get the right answer to the question, it takes away a little bit of the intimacy and maybe some of the, more reality aspect of it. And, while I'm not necessarily playing quote unquote hardball with these guys, I do think that, I ask some pretty poignant questions and bring up some pretty poignant things that have happened throughout the course of the year, because this was a really, really tough year of Sharks hockey. I mean, there's no other way to phrase it. I mean, this was a brutal, the term that I used was cruel when asking both Logan and Quinn about it, just because of the way that, some of the losses worked out. That if you listen to Morning Tide, my favorite one is to point out the 4-2 lead against Anaheim with 5 minutes to play, and that's a game they lost. That's one of those things that you just kind of scratch your head and go, what on earth just happened? Because I'm still a little miffed by it. You're still a little miffed by it, right? Like, things like that are not the norm. And so, to get their thoughts from it when they're a little bit removed, when the season is concluded, as opposed to in the moment. In the moment, it's kind of on to the next, when they can stop and they can reflect, a process which is still ongoing, by the way. But now they have the opportunity to remove themselves from it. They can digest it. They can percolate. They can let these things mull around in their mind a little bit differently than what they were able to do during the course of the regular season. Because in the regular season, you're just talking and thinking and trying to move past and working. And you don't have time to really stop and think about it. And I guarantee when that final horn sounded in Edmonton to end the San Jose Sharks season, I bet they did start thinking about things in a different dynamic than they had up to that point. I bet they did start thinking about what was a difficult year, for lack of any other, better expression. But now the year was done. Like, they knew it was difficult up to that point, but now they had the chance to think about it. They had to think about what they were going to do to improve it, what they were going to do to be better, and knowing that changes were on the horizon, because that's part of where the Sharks are right now. And obviously there's the questions of where this team is going to draft, who they're going to get, you know, where it's going to go from there. So, you know, these are some interesting things. So we'll start off talking with head coach David Quinn. We'll take a break, and then we'll talk to Logan Couture. But first, this is my interview with the head coach of the San Jose Sharks, David Quinn. All right, we are now joined by David Quinn, head coach of the San Jose Sharks, here on Locker Room Cleanout Day. And, you know, David, it's been a tough year. Where are your thoughts right now?
Well, right now, it's sitting here wondering, you know, how'd the season go by so fast? Tough season, obviously, from a winning and losing standpoint. Very frustrating. I think we use that word a lot post-game with how our season evolved. And, you know, it's almost like you get to keep it in two halves, you know, all the way up through mid-January when Timo got traded and then all the changes we made. So, you know, you got to keep everything in perspective, too, with the way the season ended. Sometimes you evaluate your year based on what you see the last month of the season. But we really got to take inventory of the totality of the season, what went on before we started making those trades. And, you know, I'm really eager for next year. I really am. I think we got a good core of guys coming back. We've been noted over and over again how close we were in all the tight games we lost and the fashion we lost them in. Yeah. And I think we're going to learn from it. And I think we need to get off to a better start next year. 0-5 was a hard hole to come out of. And we've just got to be better from the get-go and obviously be much better at home.
Well, that's a good segue to my next question, because there were a lot of finishes this year that, listen, a bad season happens, but this was, like, cruel.
Yeah.
Like, there were some finishes where I just would think to myself, I'd go home and I'd watch it again. I'd be like, how did that happen? I mean, yeah. would you go home and watch the film, or would you not want to right away kind of see it again?
I have to watch it again. And, you know, I said that nobody lost in more frustrating, cruel manner than we did, more painful ways than we did.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just one thing. We found a different way on different nights to lose in ways that were agonizing. And you scratch your head saying, how did that happen? Mm-hmm. Well, that play I hadn't seen before, or that play, and it was different guys. So, you know, sometimes when you're coming out of the situation we are, where you've had some tough seasons over the last 3 years, you know, winning becomes contagious, and so does losing.
Yeah.
And, you know, we've got to find a way to get out of it and finish off games that we had chances to finish. And, you know, we're aware of that. And I think Mike's going to certainly address some of the areas we need to address to get better at. But I feel really good about the core players we have coming back.
Did self-doubt ever enter the equation? Because you have made it to this point in your career for a reason. You're good at organizing these teams. You know what you're doing clearly. But when you see something that happens that's such an aberration, or consistently, did you ever think to yourself, like, am I doing something wrong?
I think coaches always do that. I think you always look in the mirror and second guess some of the things that you can do. There's so many decisions that are made, not only within a game, but within practice and the day-to-day handling of a team. And you're always making sure, is that the right thing to do? I felt really good about the job we did. I can't tell you how fortunate I am to have the assistant coaches that I have, from Scotty Gordon to Brian Wiseman to Ryan Wasowski and Tom Spear. And, you know, Nick and Cody do a phenomenal job with the video. We're all in it together. I think the players see the way we interact personally, how much respect we have and how likable the group is as a staff, and the respect we have for each other professionally.
You guys always seemed excited on game day. That's the thing. It's like, I understand that there's some losses that stick around, but you were able to forget about it. You guys always seemed fired up and ready to go, talking to the media in the mornings. You know, before the game, you always looked excited. It didn't seem like there was ever a hangover effect.
Listen, you know, you need to move on quickly in this profession. You cannot let one loss turn into two. You can't let it linger. I thought we did a pretty good job of that as a group. Even though we lost a lot of games back-to-back, it wasn't because we didn't play well, or we let something from the previous game affect the next game. That's a good sign moving forward here. And there are a lot of things we did well which will propel us to have success sooner than later. Mm-hmm. And we've just got to make sure we build off of it. We can't lose sight of that. We got to be a little bit better in certain areas. But I think those are foundational aspects and characteristics that we need to take forward.
How much umbrage did you take from just the chatter of people saying, hey, why are you winning these games at the end of the year? You know, people were talking about draft picks. Because if it was me, it would bother me. I'd be like, I'm here to win. I'm not here to worry about that aspect. And I would imagine that would be something that would kind of rub you the wrong way.
I can't imagine standing behind a bench or preparing for a game hoping you lose. I don't understand it. I can't fathom it. I don't think our players fathom it. I mean, we're down 3-1 in Edmonton, last game of the season, get a power play in the middle of the second. Our top unit was all tired. They were on. We called the timeout. I mean, you got to do things the right way, and I think you get rewarded when you do things the right way. I think karma ends up paying you back. We went through this in New York, my first year in New York. We actually won some games at the end of the year. We actually beat Pittsburgh in overtime the last game of the year, and I remember Jeff Gordon and I shaking hands because we went from, like, fourth worst to seventh worst, and we both said, we're going to get rewarded for doing it, and we got the second pick. So you just got to keep playing. You got to keep playing, and there's nothing more precious than the integrity of the sport. Mm-hmm. And once you lose the integrity of the sport, what do you have?
I think that's what made it so frustrating this year is that the compete level was clearly so high from the team. There was no quit. There was no, you know, sagging shoulders of more than a moment after giving up a goal. It was a good reset, and the team would continue to fight hard, yet not walk away. I mean, that's got to be encouraging as much as it is frustrating, right?
It is, and it's kind of what I alluded to earlier. I mean, those are characteristics that you can win with. Those are the things that, you know, winning looks, you know what winning looks like, and there's a lot of things that go into winning. You need enough talent. But then there's about seven or eight other characteristics that a particular team or group of people have to acquire together in order mm-hmm. to have success. And we check some boxes. Not enough of them, but we check some boxes in areas that we're going to need to be good at and if we're going to have success.
I look at a guy like Logan Couture and his leadership in particular, just because you look at that game against Vegas where I said, Logan's not as young as he once was. Who is? He's not as fast as he once was. But he steps back into that lane, almost baiting them into that pass, then jumps into it, steals it, has the breakaway. Like, when you have a guy at this point in a tough year still making those types of plays, seems that bleeds down to the rest of the team, that everybody looks at that and says, in that situation, the captain's making that play. For you as a coach, that's what you want in a captain, right?
And that's what I'm talking about. I mean, you know, it's funny, when he went on, he was halfway up the ice, I could have walked into the coach's room. I knew he was going to score. That's just, he's always been a big money player. He's always been a guy you can rely on. He's mm-hmm. in a I've only known him a year, and I've got such respect for him, and he's such a likable guy. He's exactly what you want in an organization, and you ask me why I'm optimistic about the future here, he's one of the main reasons.
When you do look at the future, do you think this is year one, that the building blocks were laid the right way, that you got the foundation of your system put in place, or do you also look at it and say, like, yes, I put in some of these pieces, but now I know these players that much more and how you have to tweak your system, or is it both?
I think it's both. You know, I think that the players will be more comfortable, the coaches will be more comfortable. Now, a lot of that's depending on what our roster is going to look like next mm-hmm. fall, too. I mean, Mike has a lot of tough decisions to make, as every general manager does in the National Hockey League. And, you know, let's see what our roster looks like next year. But, you know, it's always easier. This, I've been, you know, a head coach in three different occasions, took over similar situations at BU and in Lake Erie. And both situations were similar to one we had this year, and the mm-hmm. second year was always better.
Yeah, and that's, again, I look at it as, regardless of the change that might happen, everyone on the roster was new to your system this year. Next year, there's going to be more people that are familiar. They'll make it that much easier for everyone, even if they are a newcomer, to understand what is trying to be put in place on the ice.
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, it's not only going to be the coaches that are going to be, you know, coaching what we're trying to do. Mm-hmm. It'll be the players that are back from last year coaching any new players we might have. So yeah. It becomes a lot easier for everybody to get on the same page when the players on the ice certainly are understanding how we're going to go about things.
Have you changed as a coach over the course of this year? I imagine that it's always a work in progress for you of understanding how to communicate your ideas.
I think as a coach, you're always trying to learn and adapt with the players as you move forward here. And you know, I think we did adapt as the season went on. We were in a completely different situation the last 6 weeks of the season than we were, you know, the first 4 or 5 months. So you do have to adapt to those circumstances and when your roster changes like that.
Yeah, but I will say, to your credit, I mean, this team didn't get caught in extended losing like we've seen with other teams in past. You know, we can go back 30 years ago with the Bad Sharks team, longer, you know, just overall bad hockey. This team, though, you know, there were still the overtime losses. There was still the fight. There was still the grinds. Do you take pride in that as well?
Yeah, I do. And like I said, I think that really points to why there is optimism moving forward. I think when you have those traits and those characteristics, you just have a better chance to win. I mean, This game is played on such a small surface, and it's so fast that competing and desire and perseverance and grit can overcome talent. more so than ever before, because the league isn't as physical as it used to be. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, you can give yourself a fair chance against maybe teams that are more talented when you play that way.
We go back to last summer when you come in. You're much more familiar with San Jose in the Bay Area now, except for the fact that you got about a decade's worth of rain in one winter. It was, listen, man, this is an aberrant situation. It's not the norm. But what surprised you about this hockey market compared to your perceptions when you came in?
Just how loyal our fan base is, you know, and I mentioned this before. I mean, when I took the Ranger job and you talk about visiting buildings, this the Shark Tank was at the top of the list and one of the harder places to play. And obviously through the pandemic and, you know, unfortunately the lack of success we've had, our crowd certainly aren't anywhere near what they used to be. But you still feel the passion and the environment in the arena and how loyal our fan base is. And they're going to get rewarded eventually, and it's going to happen sooner than later.
At some point, you will be able to take back from the reflections of the season, and I know obviously you've got some more coaching to do this summer, but how does David Quinn relax? How are you eventually able to step away from it all, even if it is for probably a fleeting moment, because you don't seem like you're a guy who sits still well, but how are you going to relax at some point this summer?
A lot of golf, a lot of beach, a lot of family time.
Nice.
Yeah, and I try to bring my family on the course and on the beach, and hopefully they want to join me.
Well, David, I'll let you go, man. Thank you so much. It's been great getting to know you over the course of this first year. Really excited for next year, man. Enjoy your summer.
Thank you.
So, yeah, fun stuff there with David Quinn. Just overall, you know, I really enjoyed his openness over the course of the year and then getting to sit down with him in this interview, because I think that he went over a lot of topics that people were wondering about. But you can tell that he's, A, looking forward to the offseason, but also that there are some things that he wants to make right on that happened this last year. Not that I would think that there's remorse in his voice, but I think that the losing is bothersome, for lack of a better term. I think he wants to go and, you know, be able to take those next step forward. And, you know, I don't put any of the losing on him. I don't put it on Mike Greer. I don't put it on anyone individually. It was a collective. They're all, as a whole, responsible. But, you know, like we mentioned, the effort was always good. And, you know, things appear from a morale standpoint and from a team chemistry standpoint appear to be in a very good situation. So that's something I think we can all take, you know, a little bit of, not necessarily pride, but it's a good sign. We're going to take a break. On the other side, we're going to talk to the captain, Logan Couture. You're on Morning Tide on the Sharks Audio Network.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Welcome back to Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light.
Trangelo gets by Couture. Moves down the left side across the Sharks' line. In overtime, puts on the brakes. Gave it away to Couture. Logan's got a break. He has a breakaway now. He's moving in. He shoots. He scores! What a finish for the captain, Logan Couture, goal number 26 on the season, and he's mobbed by his teammates. The Sharks win in overtime against Vegas, 4-3, 50 seconds into the extra session. Listen to this crowd erupt.
One of my favorite moments of the year, Logan Couture's game-winning goal against Vegas back on the 30th of March. I sat down with him last week. This is what he had to say. All right, we have got the captain of the San Jose Sharks, Logan Couture, joining us here on the Sharks Audio Network. Logan, we're at the end, man. How are you feeling right now?
I feel it's always tough for the season to end, you know, especially the way that it did with a lot of losses down the stretch and missing the playoffs. Difficult, but it's nice to be around and see the guys one last time before everyone heads their separate ways.
Yeah, and I imagine for you, you're a guy who, since you came up with this organization, has mostly known nothing but success. You're used to these extended runs. Like, yeah, it's nice that you get to start your offseason, but you can't be – you'd probably rather still be going and still be gearing up for the next phase, right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, the playoffs are the best time to play. You know, the times where I sit in the middle of summer and I reminisce about playing hockey, I think about the playoff games, and I think about driving to SAP Center and seeing people walk into the rink and just the buzz. Like, you can feel the buzz of playoff hockey. You know, if you go out to the grocery store, you go out to dinner and people are just talking hockey and talking Sharks, and I miss that, so I really hope we can get back there soon.
How hard is it for you to keep the idea of this being the aberration as opposed to the success that we've mostly known here? Because everyone wants to think about you as the leader, as being like the guy who's, you know, talking to somebody when they need it and, you know, being a word of encouragement, or, you know, sometimes giving a guy like a harsh lesson, something like that. But, you know, there's also the ideology of what this team has been able to do and have that sustained success. And I'm sure you there's probably times where you want to say to guys, like, this isn't normal. Like, this is not what we're supposed to be doing.
Yeah, no, you're right. But we're 4 years now, and I think it's sobering to bring that up, to talk about that. This is a tough year. This is the lowest that we're going to finish in my career, and we know we have to improve. We know we have to get better. We have to do things better. We have to win more hockey games. So in that locker room, it's known. It's talked about. I think this is a big summer for a lot of people. A lot of guys, we have a lot of time. So there's areas of everyone's personal game they can improve. You know, we're having good meetings with the coaching staff, with management. They're honest, they're up front. And I think everyone's going to leave here today with a plan in mind of what they need to do better, what they need to get better at, and it's only going to make us better.
Was it hard during the course of the year when people were talking about you and trade speculation and stuff like that? Like, I would imagine there's a part of you that wants to be like, hey, I'm the blanking captain. Like, no, I don't want to leave. Like, it must be very hard to have that question broached to you in the first place.
Yes and no. I mean, it's natural. It's professional sports. I mean, there's always going to be people that don't like you as a player. There's always going to be people that want you gone as a player. There's going to be people that want you to stay. For me, I love San Jose. This is all I've known. There's literally nothing that would make me happier in sports than to see this franchise back in the playoffs. And, you know, I go to sleep, I think about it. I wake up, I think about it. That's I want the San Jose Sharks to get back in the playoffs, and I want to be a part of it. Obviously, there's a lot that goes on in this business. Changes happen. I know that, but, you know, I want to be here. I want to bring this team back to where it belongs. So we'll see. I mean, it's going to be a big summer. There's going to be a lot of changes, I'm sure, and, you know, take it as they come.
What about the conversations around the upcoming draft? Like, I always look at the idea of trying to come and tell you or Eric and somebody like, oh no, you need this 17-year-old kid to come in here and save everything. Like, I would imagine that you'd like, it's hard to hear people say, no, the Sharks should be losing more to lock up that top pick. Like, that, if it was me, I think I would take umbrage with that, even if you do understand why that feeling exists.
Yeah, very understood, obviously. You know, I'm a sports fan myself, and but when you're right in the thick of things, you want to win hockey games. I mean, your pride, and you grow up playing this game, you're a competitive person. I mean, you have to be ultra competitive to get to the NHL. There's very, very few that play in this league, and you know, for people to think, oh, you know, go out and lose a hockey game, it just doesn't happen. You know, I'm not going to go out and lose. You know, I hate it. Everyone hates it in that room. So I do understand. I mean, I want the Toronto Blue Jays to get the best possible person in the world. You know, I want the Buffalo Bills to get the best possible person. But as an athlete going through it, it's very difficult. You want to win as many hockey games as you can.
Do you put yourself in that mindset when you hear things about the Blue Jays
or
about the Bills?
Yeah,
like, do you,
it's natural.
You're like, ah, I've been there. I know 100%, exactly.
100%, it's natural. I mean, I understand where fans are, where their thought process is, and you know, they obviously, I know what they're thinking, but they don't live it every day. I mean, showing up at the rink after a loss, it's not fun. It sucks. And if you can show up after a win, it's a lot better. So we're trying to win as many hockey games as we could this year. Obviously, we didn't win nearly enough of them, so we'll try and get better at that.
You know, in sports, a bad year can happen. But I felt like this year, the way that you guys lost, there was a particular cruelness about it. Like, so many games where it felt like the effort, the performance was good enough for a win, but it didn't come that way. Like, were you cognizant of that? Were you aware? Like, did you come home and look in the mirror and just be like, what the
what just happened?
Yeah, the start of the year for sure. The first couple months, just really couldn't believe some of the, you know, the games that are coming to mind. Tampa losing in the last minute, mm-hmm. you know, overtime games and shootout games, and just it was tough. I mean, if you get, you know, 10 more points in that stretch, you're in a spot where maybe the, you know, the management makes some moves to help you instead mm-hmm. of trading guys away for future. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of that. I look back on the year as I'm doing now and wish that things would have gone differently, but they are what they are.
I imagine you're your own worst critic or your harshest critic, but you had a good year. I mean, that's, if we look at your numbers, which obviously only tell part of the story because you're a two-way guy as well, but I look at that and I say Logan Couture had a good year. Do you agree or do you disagree?
I thought I had good stretches of hockey. I thought, you know, for me, I'm older, right? I'm 34, and I feel like I can still play and be an elite player. You know, obviously there's guys on different levels in this league. There's Connor, there's Nate, there's Leon, guys that are, you know, exceptional. But I feel like I can still play against those guys. And mm-hmm. Yeah, I was definitely proud of the year that I was able to have. It would have been a lot better if we got more wins. And I'm a player that plays a lot of minutes. So in that aspect, I feel like I let you know, the team down or the fan base down that we didn't win enough hockey games, because I'm a big part of it.
I remember that play against Vegas in overtime a couple weeks ago. And, you know, you talk about yourself not being, you know, a McDavid or whatever. But, like, your vision clearly to me, like, you saw that. It almost looked like you baited them into making that pass by stepping back and then stepping up into the lane. Mm-hmm. Then you intercept it and you score in overtime. Like, that's something, like, sure, maybe you're not as fast as McDavid, who is. But your mind is clearly, I would say, it's never been better.
Yeah, I think that's my biggest strength. I mean, I've never been the best skater. You know, I was always the knock on me, even when I was younger, is I couldn't skate at an NHL level. So my mind's had to, you know, guide me through. And it's gotten me through 900 plus games. And I still think it's up there with the best in the league. In my opinion, obviously, a little bit biased. But, yeah, that's what allows me to continue to play this game is the way that I can see the game and think the game, I think.
Do you look ahead at the next year and start doing goal setting, or are you still in a reflective mode right now?
No, I'm going to – I'm already set on training. Like, I talked to the coaching staff in Gracie today, and I said, I have these goals. You know, I'm going to try and get my body weight at a certain amount. I'm going to try and work on my foot speed. I want to do a lot of conditioning. I want to be able to continue to play 20, 19, 21 minutes mm-hmm. a night. So I have goals. It's primarily on the summer. I'm going to spend a lot of it here in San Jose. So I'm going to work with Steve-O, and we've set up some goals. So that's what drives me. I mean, I want to get better. And if I ever lose that, that's the time where I'll step away from this game, because there's always room for improvement. And, you know, that's what gets me going, is trying to get better.
Well, Logan, I appreciate your time, man. I know it's been a tough season, and you've earned an off season, and I look forward to seeing everything getting going again in the fall for training camp and the upcoming season after that.
Thank you.
Again, that was the captain of the San Jose Sharks, Logan Couture. And, you know, the one thing that he said that really, really hit me in that interview, more than his overall willingness to discuss some tough stuff with regards to the year, it was the usage of the term sobering. You know, that to me tells me how much it does hit home, because, you know, I've followed Logan Couture his entire career. You know, I started working in the media landscape in this market 15 years ago, roughly. You know, I remember exactly who he was when he first came up and the successes that he's had and his playoff moments and the things that he's been a part of and how hyper-competitive he is and knowing just exactly what the organization means to him. So, you know, to hear him use the term sobering, I thought that was particularly revealing as to where his mindset is. And he acknowledged that, you know, change could be on the horizon, but overall, I thought that was a really interesting interview. We are out of time, however, but be sure to stay tuned to the Sharks Audio Network all summer long. We are going to have a lot of stuff coming for you. This is just the start. You can also hear Mike Greer's end of the year media availability on the Sharks Hockey Digest podcast, and you can hear it on the 24 live stream as well. For the San Jose Sharks, I'm Ted Ramey signing off.
You've been listening to the San Jose Sharks Morning Tide, brought to you by Coors Light on the Sharks Audio Network.